Well, hello everybody and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you back to a new session of our study series called The Power of Eight. Eight basic truths about Jesus that contain the power to produce change, to transform human hearts. This is session four, and we're glad you're with us today because it is Basic Gospel. And here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. Last week we talked about the Bible in general, why it's trustable, what its history is, all of that sort of thing. Kind of a very broad brush approach to the Word of God. Today we want to look at a practical matter, which is how to study and understand the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's the story of Jesus, how do you read it?
Yeah.
Because all of us have made a hash of that from time to time, and some more than others. So the very, very first thing about studying and understanding the Bible is that you need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide the study and reveal the meaning.
Yeah.
And I'm going to spend a little time right now in the Bible in how Paul talks about it, explain it a little bit, and then we'll get into some more lightweight, less than that much theology,
yeah.
Practical stuff. So this starts in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 20. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. It's a hard statement to read, but it's fascinating.
Yeah.
God cannot be known through wisdom. Okay? It's not how smart you are or how much life experience you have that mm-hmm. determines your knowledge of God.
Right.
It's something else. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So here's the point. If you want to understand the Bible, you have to have it revealed to you. Okay, now how is that going to happen? We need to move into 1 Corinthians 2. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understand this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but he is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
That's beautiful.
There we go. I mean, this is one of the most powerful statements in all of Scripture about how to study and understand Scripture. Number one, number two, and number 3 through 10 of the top 10 ways to study
mm-hmm.
is to relax, pray, ask the Spirit to reveal what is meant. And he will.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely will. And that's how we're going to take the rest of today in looking at some practical ideas for studying and understanding the Bible. It always starts and ends with the Spirit revealing to
us.
Yes,
indeed.
Great thoughts, Richard. Thank you for that. And friends, welcome to Basic Gospel. If you're just joining us, we're glad you're with us. This is session four in our series, The Power of Eight, Transforming Truths Every Christian Needs to Know. We're building the archive each week so that you can review any session or catch up if you miss any of the sessions along the way. Now, you'll find the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. And, of course, we hope that you'll share this wonderful series with your family and friends. Again, you'll find it at basicgospel.net/teaching. Also, we hope you'll prayerfully consider supporting Basic Gospel to help us continue to reach out with the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can donate now or anytime when you visit our website. That's basicgospel.net, a prominent link right on the homepage, again at basicgospel.net. So now let's continue with session four of The Power of Eight. And once again, here's Richard.
Okay, so if we've got it through our thick skulls, and this I'm talking to myself as well as to anyone else here, that none of this is going to be understood unless the Spirit reveals it. What are some of the ways the Spirit uses to reveal? What are some of the practical things that we can do relative to Bible study? First, I highly suggest that you pick a version of the Bible that you find readable.
Mm-hmm.
There are many, many versions of the Bible. All of them have strengths and weaknesses. All of them, you know, you could have pages and pages of people criticizing them, but they all speak to different people in the way the Spirit needs those people to hear. The only versions I would avoid are put out by organizations with an agenda.
Yes.
For example, the Jehovah's Witness have a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
That Bible specifically elevates their point of view that Jesus isn't God, and they just retranslate things that are very clear in all other Bibles. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has a Bible called the Clear Word. It is not. Okay? And there's others. I mean, I'm not just picking on those two. My favorite versions, take it or leave it, my favorite versions are the New American Standard Bible of 1995.
Yes.
It's a very literal, conservatively translated version. It doesn't make it the easiest thing to read.
Right.
But generally speaking, you're going to get the idea intended by the Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew writers in English. Another good version, especially for ease of reading, is the New International Version of 1984. There is a newer version of it out,
right,
and I don't like that one as well. I don't think they did as nice a job. My bias.
Mm-hmm.
A third one, the English Standard Version of 2001. It is very literal in the same vein as the New American Standard, but it's a little easier to read.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the versions that, you know, when I'm here on radio, I've got a computer sitting here. I've got all three of those versions open at the same time. So if we need to look around in things, I can do that and see, you know, compare them in real time.
Right.
All of these are intensely readable, eminently readable, very meaningful. And I guarantee you, if you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the meaning, they will.
Mm-hmm.
The meaning will get revealed.
Yeah.
There are other versions that are good. I'm not kidding about this. If you like the formal and beautiful language of the 1600s,
mm-hmm,
you
right,
can't do any better than the King James Version.
Sure.
There is a beauty to the wording in there, even though a lot of those words we don't understand anymore. But the way it's put together, mm-hmm, is just amazing.
Yeah.
And that's the Bible I learned. I've grown to love these other more modern English translations, but you can find Jesus in the King James or the
yes,
New
indeed.
King James.
Yeah.
There's just so many versions. It's an embarrassment of riches is what it is.
Yeah.
Think about back in the day, you know, people died, literally were killed for having a version of the Bible in their own language.
Right.
And look at what we've got. You know, you can go online, you can go into any store, and you don't have to go to a religious store. There's Bibles everywhere, you know. Take advantage of it, okay? But here's another one. If you can afford it, purchase a concordance for looking up words of interest. What a concordance does for you is to take those words and you get to see them, how they're used in different contexts. You don't pick just the verse that the word is in. You look at
sure,
a little broader context. We'll talk about that more. But it's a fascinating way to trace that word's usage through the Old and the New Testaments and see how it changes.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives you a better picture of what's going on. Thankfully, again, because of technology, there are some very good free online tools for this. YouVersion.com. You can do word searches. Another one is called BlueLetterBible.org. O-R-G.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on both of those. I've looked things up. It's awesome. If you are blessed, like I was, to have someone who gave you this particular tool, Logos Bible Software and others like that are invaluable.
Yeah.
Because you can have all of this stuff. You can have commentaries and word search and Greek and everything. And I live in Logos. When I'm answering the phone and talking to people, or if I'm doing an email consultation with someone, I am using these tools.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to do this from memory. Sure. I want the Spirit to reveal what's there.
Right.
Here's an important one. Check your assumptions at the door. Now, all of us have assumptions. All of us have been raised with certain points of view, and that's okay. It's just life.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come to Bible study, let the Bible teach you. Don't you try to teach the Bible. And I did the latter for many, many years. Well, I know what the truth is, so, you know, kind of, so to speak, and therefore the Bible must say it. And then I would read that into the Bible. There's a $10 word for that. It's called eisegesis. It's reading into the text. Let the text read out to you. And you will be amazed at what kind of thing comes out when you just take your time. And again, this is all the Spirit talking to you.
Yeah.
If I'm reading into the text, I'm talking to the Spirit and telling the Spirit what he should know. If I get some humility and let the Spirit talk to me out of the text, it's amazing.
Sure.
Here's one that I have never done myself, but I have several friends who do this. Keep a journal. A particular friend of mine, I get together with him for breakfast several times a month, and he journals his Bible study, and he writes down questions. And there are some questions there that he puts somebody's name by, and there are other questions he put Richard's name by.
Yeah.
We get together, and he asks me questions.
Yeah.
Because you can organize your thoughts. You can get things out, and some people need to write in order to think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take that for what it's worth. Context. This is going to be a longer session, so if you want to take a break now, let's do it.
Let's do that. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you've joined us for the study session. It's the Power of Eight on Basic Gospel. And friends, something we don't often mention, but we probably should, and that's if you would like to own the entire 8-CD Power of Eight series, you can order it by going online to store.basicgospel.net. Now, you'll find it there along with many other resources that point you to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus. Again, that's the Power of Eight 8-CD series available at store.basicgospel.net. And friends, if you're benefiting from what you hear on this broadcast every day, please support this message. The message is what? Love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus Christ that you hear each day on Basic Gospel. Make your gift today if you can. Donate at basicgospel.net. There's a prominent link, a donate link right there on the homepage. Again, basicgospel.net. And Richard, it's good so far. Let's keep it going.
Okay. So context. We've talked about this many, many times. I'm going to give some more detailed examples here in a second. But if you don't pay attention to context in the Word of God, you are selling yourself short.
Yeah.
And so often what we get in sermons and books and other radio broadcasts, I did this when I was young and immature. I pick a verse and it sounded good. That's it.
Yeah.
I never bothered to look around what else was beside that verse.
Right.
So first of all, for believers today, everything in the Bible should be seen through the lens of the new covenant. Okay? When Jesus died, according to Hebrews, the new covenant was ratified. And we've talked about the new covenant, the four promises of the new covenant, and how radically different it is because it's based on promise, not on law.
Sure.
And the promise was forever. The promise was started with Adam and Eve and then went on through the patriarchs. The law was given for a temporary purpose, and it served that purpose beautifully. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, but you've got to keep that in mind. So if you're reading in the Old Testament, read the Old Testament with your New Covenant glasses on to see how the shadows and pictures and all of the things in the Old Testament have been fulfilled in Jesus and furthermore fulfilled in and through us because he lives inside of us.
Right.
This is especially true concerning the teachings of Jesus himself. Now, there are a lot of people who say, well, you know, Jesus is the Savior, and he is, and Jesus died for my sins, and he did, and Jesus rose from the dead to give me life, and he did, and he sent the Holy Spirit, and he did. Therefore, everything he said before he died must be true and applicable today in my life. Yes and no. Think of the New Covenant. Let's look at a couple of examples. First of all, Paul explained this to us in Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. So that means that sometimes when Jesus is talking, he's talking out of the old covenant, under law. Sometimes when he's talking, he is revealing the new covenant, things that are about to come because I'm going to my death and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to keep those things straight. So here are a couple of examples. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. This is, in my opinion, the greatest exposition of the Mosaic covenant ever given. And why not? Jesus is the one who spoke that covenant into existence.
Sure.
He should know what it means. But if you read the whole Sermon on the Mount, those three chapters, as the idea that this is the rule for living, you're going to drive yourself stark raving mad.
Absolutely.
Because you cannot keep what he described.
No.
Now, anytime you hear someone saying things like, oh, yeah, be as perfect as your Father in heaven, that should give you pause.
Yes, indeed.
And how do you know that Jesus was doing things to get our attention? Because he said things many times in there. You have heard that it was said, but I say. And every time he said, but I say, what he was doing was stripping away all the layers of stuff that had been added to the law and bring it right down to our hearts to show us that we don't keep it.
Yeah.
We're not even close to keeping it. In fact, we enjoy breaking it. And so you have to keep that Sermon on the Mount in the context of the New Covenant and say, okay, what's he talking about? Was it fulfilled? Now what does it mean?
Mm-hmm.
And how does it apply to me?
Yeah.
Don't take it as, you know, oh, I've got to be poor in spirit. So we run around going, oh, I'm poor in spirit. No, 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 no. He's talking about heart attitudes to God.
Yeah.
And those heart attitudes are the very things we give him when we come to him for salvation. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us and begins to renew those heart attitudes so they're right.
Yeah.
Okay? Here's another one. The greatest commandment. Both Matthew 22 and Mark 12 give this story. A lawyer shows up and said, well, what's the greatest commandment of the law? And the Mark 12 example or version of this story is much more complete because Jesus gives another one of these Old Testament lessons to a lawyer. And in Matthew and Mark, Luke, lawyers were the ones who were the experts in the law. And Jesus demonstrates, once again, his mastery of it. And he says, you know, you need to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And the lawyer both times is very impressed. And he should be, because that's straight out of the Old Covenant,
sure.
Both Deuteronomy and Leviticus. Well, then in John 6 and in John 15, Jesus says something completely different. In John 6, he says, this is the work of God, to believe in me. I thought it was to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, yes, but what does that look like? It means to believe in me.
Yes.
His statement in John 6 is a prediction, a promise, if you will, of what's going to happen under the new covenant. And then in John 15, he says, here's a new command. Love your neighbors as I have loved you. Notice the change. love your neighbors as you love yourself, or love your neighbors as I have loved you. Love your neighbors as I have loved you is a new covenant statement. Love your neighbors as you love yourself is an old covenant statement. That's the best they could do. But in this new covenant, now that we have the Spirit living inside of us, who's never going to leave us or forsake us, we get to love as we have been loved. It just pours out of us. We can't help it. And so it's not a question of who's right. It's a question of what covenant do you live under. Because
yes, indeed.
Both statements that Jesus said are absolutely true, but one is different than the other.
And we have to keep in mind that the new covenant is only ushered in at his death.
At his death.
Because a will is only in effect when someone dies.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so often we say, well, you know, the new covenant started when Jesus was born. No, it didn't.
No.
Okay, here's the last one. What is the real Lord's Prayer? Is it the prayer found in Matthew 6? Our Father.
No.
You know? Or is it the one in John 17? Well, again, it depends on the context. Matthew 6 is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, you would expect it to be an Old Covenant prayer. And it's beautiful. It truly is. But if you want a New Covenant experience instead of an Old Covenant experience, read the prayer in John 17, where, amongst other things, he says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That changes everything.
It does.
Absolutely everything. Okay? So that's the kind of care you have to take in reading Jesus' words. He meant what he said. Everything he said was true, but he said it in one context or the other, either in the Old Covenant or predicting the New. Never base your belief system on one verse. Most dangerous thing in the world.
Yeah.
I'll just leave that one alone. Avoid skipping from one verse to another and to another and to another. This is called proof texting. And proof texting has been used to prove absolutely everything. Some of it really, really bad. Okay? Don't do it, because you're purposely ignoring the context around you. Ignore chapter breaks. Remember, chapters and verses were added long after the Bible had been written. And so it's a good thing because it helps us get around, but it's a bad thing from the point of view of context. And so read past the chapter ending to make sure that what you're reading doesn't continue.
Yes.
Okay? So that's a good thing. Pay attention to who is talking and to whom they are talking. This will give the primary purpose of the passage. Let's go back to Jesus. If Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, he's going to say things in certain ways. When he talks to other people, he talks in a very different way. And that's meaningful.
Yeah.
Pay attention. Take a look at the stated historical, political, economic, and religious background. That can be very helpful. And if you need help there, go online and look up some of the names and the places and get a feel for what was going on. It's fascinating. It's just amazing. Finally, have fun. This isn't a work that you do in order to get God's favor. It's the story of Jesus, and so we get to enjoy reading and thinking about what he did and continues to do on our behalf every moment of every day, and every word of this amazing Bible.
Richard, thank you. The great insights, and thank you so much for sharing those. Session 4 of The Power of 8, friends, and we'll continue with the study next Friday, and we hope you're going to be here for that. But a quick reminder that if you miss any of the sessions, you can find them when you visit basicgospel.net/teaching. That's the archive, and it's there for you. Again, basicgospel.net/teaching. Also, friends, please prayerfully consider your gift to support Basic Gospel as we bring the fullness of the love, grace, and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ to the airwaves and online every day. Click donate at basicgospel.net, and when you make your gift, we have something special to say thanks for your partnership with us at Basic Gospel and in the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, you can make your gift at basicgospel.net. Remember, too, that our listener line is always open for you. Got a question? Leave us a voicemail. The number 844-322-2742. It's always available, always there, 844-322-2742. Or you can email your question to bob@basicgospel.net. Again, that's bob@basicgospel.net. Well, Richard, it's been a great session, and each of these sessions is just a wonderful expression of what we have in the Lord Jesus.
Indeed.
Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and this great ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be back at the same time on Monday for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.